It is good to see all of you out here this morning. It's wonderful to be able to gather as we are today here outside in this group. It's a wonderful morning that we've been blessed with so far with the weather, and we can praise God for that and thank Him for that as well. Before we get started here, I'll pray, but I also invite you to turn to Philippians 4. We're going to finish off the book of Philippians here this morning. But let us pray and just thank God for this time that He's given us. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this morning, and thank You for the opportunity that You've provided for us to get together here and to worship You together, to gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ here, that, Lord, You've called into being a local church here. And Lord, as we worship You this morning, as we've already been able to sing, and Lord, here teaching through the children's feature, and now as we have heard Your word read, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that You would just be honored in what we are doing here today. I pray that You just guide my words as I speak, Lord. And Father, again, we just thank You for how You've already provided for us here this opportunity this morning and the weather. And so again, we praise You and thank You for who You are. And in Your name we pray. Amen. Happy Father's Day, by the way. Now, when I was going through high school, I had the opportunity to work for an oil company throughout the summers. The plant that I worked at had an office out in the middle of the Bald Prairie. The plant I worked at was out in the middle of the Bald Prairie. We were still pretty close to the city of Brooks, but to a lot of people, we would have been considered to be working out in the middle of nowhere. There would not have been too many people that would drive out to where we were located. Now, there were lots of service trucks that came out to the plant to work on the big compressor stations and to fix the pumps and the motors that we took care of out there. But there was really only one truck that we looked forward to coming out to the plant during the week, and that was the truck from the local oil field supply store. This store was the place that supplied all of the creature comforts at our plant. They supplied the creature comforts of this plant. This truck brought out the snacks for the office. They brought out the pop for the fridge. They brought us new pens for work, new safety goggles and earplugs, which if you work in the energy sector is a big deal when you get to upgrade some of your safety equipment. These guys were a great source of supply to us as workers out in the field, and we really looked forward to when they came out. Now, if you ever had a chance to go to their store and to look around, you would have been amazed at what they all carried. They, from fruit snacks to humongous wrenches, from toe straps to taillights, this store could supply you pretty much everything that you would need. But I guess that's what you would expect or guess you would find for going to a supply store. Now, in all of life, we have needs. There are circumstances that we'll face that will require some sort of supply to fill what we're missing. And as people, we might start to look for those supplies in the stores of our choice. If you need a new hydraulic fitting or a part for your lawnmower, hopefully you'll head over to Notch to get all your needs sorted out there. But what do you do when all of a sudden you have a need that Notch or the McMahon Co-op can't fix? What do you do if the need you have can't be solved by a doctor or a lawyer or a banker or a friend? What do you do in those situations? Who do you turn to? Where is your help? When you're having troubles loving and caring for and being tender with your children or your spouse, who or what do you turn to? Where do you turn when you see your friends suffering and you want to be able to help them? Where do you turn when you're having troubles being obedient to God? Now, you might say the pastor, but the pastor has needs, too, that they need supply for as well. Where do we go? What do we do? Who can supply our needs? The answer for this question is Christ and God. We can rely on Christ to fulfill these needs. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." As Paul was writing the Philippian church, he was commending them for the gift they had given him. but he now called them to an even greater supply than they had been to him. He was calling them to Christ, and how through him God truly supplies for the needs of those who are his. And so this morning, as we work through the last 13 verses of Philippians, we're going to take time to look at the fact that in Christ, God supplies all needs. In Christ, God supplies all needs, and he can do this sometimes through other people. He can do this in all situations, and he does this when others cannot supply for us. But before we move on this morning, let us turn to Philippians 4, verses 10 to 23, and read this passage together. So Philippians 4, verses 10 to 23. I'd encourage you to follow along with me as I read. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all these things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So this brings me to my first point this morning that I want us to take time to look at in our message this morning, and that is that in Christ, God supplies all needs, and sometimes he does this through other people. So in Christ, God supplies all needs, and sometimes he does this through other people. If we look at verse 10 of our passage this morning, we are brought to the part of this letter where Paul finally addresses the gift that the Philippians supplied for him. Earlier in the book, in chapter 1, verse 5, Paul gives thanks for the willingness of the Philippians to partner with him in the gospel. And if we look ahead at verses 15 and 16 of chapter 4, the church in Philippi was the only church to partner with him in giving and receiving. They were the only church to supply him with finances. And when he left them and carried on to Thessalonica, this church continued to be generous and support him. They continued to meet some of his financial need. Now, for a time, this church here in Philippi was not able to give to Paul's ministry as they maybe would have wanted to. Here, Paul says, at last you have been able to renew or revive your concern for me. Now, at a first glance, it might seem like Paul's rebuking them for not supplying his needs during this time. But as we will read later, Paul is not in need. He does not desire their gifts. He's not rebuking them here, but he's showing that he understands that they have not been able to supply his needs during a certain amount of time. He himself has been all over the place since departing from Philippi. He's been on trials. He's been in Jerusalem. He spent 2.5 years in jail in Caesarea, and then he had that winter that he spent trying to get to Rome in the face of much difficulty and shipwreck. Paul was not an easy guy to get to for a long period of time for the Philippians. And now that he was in Rome and he was stayed put there, it would have been geographically easier and more accessible for the Philippians to have communications with Paul through Epaphroditus and others who may have been involved in delivering communications. So for a while, Paul was not an easy guy for the Philippians to reach. It would have been hard for them to even have opportunity to reach him, but now they had revived their concern for him, and sought to meet his needs. Now, in all this time, Paul did not doubt their concern or their intentions. Their previous care for him revealed how they truly felt for him, and it was only a matter of time until he would experience their generosity again. So Paul's needs at this time for his ministry were being met through the people he ministered to. God put it on their hearts to be generous and to partner in his ministry. This was helpful, and for this, Paul was thankful. But ultimately, finances were not the greatest need that Paul had. He had much greater needs for his life. Needs like obedience, patience, grace, mercy, love. Needs that could only be supplied for in Christ. Which leads us into verse 11, where Paul says, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Paul was not in need. He did not need the gifts of the Philippians. He was thankful for their generosity. But now he had learned the secret of what it means to be content. Their finances were not needed. Which brings me to the second point that I want to highlight this morning. My second point is this morning that I want us to see in this passage is that in Christ, God supplies for needs in all situations. In Christ, God supplies for needs in all situations. During his ministry, Paul had gone through all sorts of situations. In verse 12, it tells us that he knows what it's like to be brought low. He knew what it was like to abound. He knew what it was like to be hungry. And he knew what it was like to live in abundance. Yet in all these things, he had learned how to be content. He had learned the secret to facing all of these situations. He could face all these situations and learn to be content in all these things because God had given him the strength for all of these situations. For Paul, it did not matter the situation. He could face all these things because of the strength that God gave him for each task and for each circumstance of each day. But it is not as if this was a thing that just happened overnight for Paul. It was not as if he suddenly overnight was able to say, "I am content." He had to learn this contentment. He had to learn to see that God provided the strength he needed for all situations. He needed to learn to be content. Naturally, people are not content. We don't just pop out of the womb and we find everything is just fine. As we enter the world, we enter it hungry, tired, and needy. There are three new babies in our congregation. Just ask their parents about whether their newborns are content in every situation. It takes time to learn to be content. But the Apostle Paul knows the secret. It is God that strengthens us for what we need to live out his will for us. His strength allows us to be content in all situations. Many people want verse 13 of our passage here to mean that they can really do all things. They want this passage to mean that through God's strength that they can really do all the things that they want for their lives. If you were a kid like me, you wanted this verse to mean that God was going to give you the strength to become an NBA basketball player, or at least a university basketball player. But this is not a right understanding of this verse. It is to be applied to God's will for your life and not your own wills or wants. Can you imagine if God gave us the strength to accomplish our own wills for our lives? Can you imagine if he gave people the strength to capitalize on their own selfishness? It would be a mess. But you see, God has a will for each of our lives. He has a plan for each of us, and it looks different for each of us. And along the way, he has decided what we are to go through. For each of us, he has different circumstances. For each part of our lives, he has plans. The plans he has for some of us might be times of abundance and plenty, and other times it might be times of hunger and need. It might be sickness. But in each of these situations, his strength is available to carry us through, to give us all that we need to be content. I think that Christians in need and in hunger are forced to learn contentment in the Lord much sooner than others who have not. Those who have missed a meal or just are barely scraping up enough to pay for gas or for their mortgage know that often it is only God that can give them the strength to endure yet another day of trouble and toil. For the individual who is sick or has cancer, they truly know that they are weak and need actual physical strength from the Lord just to sit up in bed some days. God's strength is what helps these people through. And in these times, reliance in the Lord is learned. Contentment might not be the first thing they express, but as time goes on, it can be learned knowing that God has provided strength to face even these challenges when we feel we can't get through them anymore. But contentment in Christ is not just for those who have little or experience poor health. Whether we have much or little food or no food, we will all face times of great joy and times of great sorrow. We will all at some point in our lives lose someone who's important to us. We may face financial stress or farming mishaps, but in all of it, the Lord is there to be our strength. God has a plan for each of our lives, and we honestly may not know where that plan might lead in this life, but in all situations, God has given strength for the task. We might not want to face hardship or be in need, but in these times, we will have the opportunity to grow in contentment, to trust the Lord for His strength, to carry us through in His will for us. Half the time, it's surprising what all comes up for us. But in those situations, we can learn to practice contentment, knowing that He has given the strength that we need to face all circumstances that He leads us to. Paul learned the secret of being content in all situations. It was not found in money, fame, or friends, but it was found knowing that the Lord would give him the strength he needed for each situation that he would be called to. Might we find contentment knowing that the Lord will provide strength for everything he calls us to do as well. And this brings me to my third and final point. The third point this morning that I want us to see from this passage is that in Christ, God supplies for our needs when others cannot. In verse 19 to 20, it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." When one reads these verses, they must think that this sounds amazing. It's amazing to think that God will supply every need. It's an incredible promise of God's provision, but it's also a promise that serves as a reward for those who had sought to support Paul as he ministered to them. In verse 14 to 18, Paul highlighted the gifts that the Philippian church had given to him. And although he is thankful for these gifts, he's not thankful for his own benefit, but also for the benefit of those who had given to him. He's thankful for their benefit. In verse 17, Paul specifically says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." Paul was concerned that the Philippians would be rewarded for how they had supported him. In Roman culture, it was not normal to give. In fact, if you gave to someone, it was usually with the expectation that you would receive something greater back. Now, knowing Paul's imprisoned state, there was no way that he could ever give back to the Philippians what he had received from them financially. There was no way that he could outdo them. He had brought them the gospel, for sure, as he was led there by God, but there was no way that he could ever repay them now for what they had done for him later on. And so rather than providing them with an earthly reward, he pointed them to a reward from God. In this transaction, the Philippians would bless Paul with their giving, and God would reward them for their acts of faith. Giving was truly an act of faith for the Philippian church. The Philippian church was poor, they had great need, and when they gave, they were truly giving of themselves. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 3, Paul informs the Corinthians of this. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord." The Philippians gave willingly and generously. But Paul was not seeking their gift. He was well supplied. He hoped now that these people would be seen by God in their sacrifice of self in their giving. They had not just given their money, but they had given themselves, and it was a pleasing sacrifice to God, fragrant and acceptable to him. In response to this, Paul wrote of great reward that God would supply every need of theirs in Christ Jesus. Paul counted on God's unlimited grace and generosity to reward the Philippians. When we submit our lives to God, it honors him. He does not just want our money, our position, our prestige, our strength. He wants us. He wants our hearts devoted to him. He wants our obedience. And when this is the case, he is honored and glorified. Many of you serve in roles where you're called to obedience. But in these roles, you will likely not equally receive back from another that which you've invested into them. So to repeat that, many of you will serve in roles out of your obedience where you will not equally receive back from another that which you've invested into them. The Philippians had invested into the ministry of Paul. And although he was very influential in their lives and had brought them the gospel, ultimately, he was not going to be able to repay the gift that they had given him in keeping with Roman culture. In the same way as God's people, we serve many and give to many who will never be able to repay us back for our time or our resources. Today is Father's Day, and I'm not a father, but I know that for many of you, you've invested more into your children than they could ever pay back to you. God has blessed you with and entrusted you with children to teach and to train in his word and in his ways. It's a daunting task that he's called you to, but as you give yourself to God in this role, to obediently invest in your children, to devote your time and your effort to help them honor God, he sees it. He sees the sacrifice that's involved there. He sees you serving in this way, and it honors him. Now, I can only imagine the amount of time and effort it takes to raise a child and to teach them to honor God and follow Christ. I can only imagine how stressful and difficult it could be to provide both financially and spiritually. But God sees you and knows what you need in those times. And know that despite all the difficulties, like Paul says in verse 19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. As you raise your children, there will be different challenges and needs along the way, but God sees the one who has submitted to him, who has devoted themselves to be obedient to him, and he knows how to supply every need of yours in Christ Jesus. He knows when you need patience for your children. He knows when you require energy. He knows when you need wisdom. He knows when you need love, and he knows when you need courage. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. But not just fathers will serve in roles where they give more than they receive. Many who are here know that they will likely give more than they will ever receive back from others as they serve Christ. But know that in Christ, there is a greater gift for us than anyone could ever repay. Salvation, but also God's strength, his grace, his mercy, his love. All of these things far better than anything we could receive in turn here on earth. And as we receive from God what we do not deserve and we use it to honor him, he will get the glory. When we seek to serve him in a way that does not expect provision from others, but only from God, he gets the glory as the one who provides and makes it possible for us to even serve him. And so to come back around to my final point here from this passage, in Christ, God supplies for our needs when others cannot. And this makes it possible for all people to serve him, knowing that God will provide when others cannot supply you in that role. Our greatest example of this is Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross for sin, he died in the place of all sinners. When he came down to earth, he served in the most sacrificial of ways. No one could repay him for all that he has done for humanity. All the service and obedience in all the world could not repay what he did for others. But God has also exalted him and given him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is the greatest example of what it looks like to be content and to have his strength supplied by God. As he went to the cross, he died in the place of those who could never repay him for what he had given. But he has been rewarded by God. When no one else could give back to him what he has done, Christ, our greatest example. Yes, okay, so he was rewarded by God when no one else could give back to him for what he has done. Christ is our greatest example, and we can see strength and obedience given to him when he says, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And in response to this obedience, we see God exalted. We all have different needs. We all go through different difficulties and challenges as people. At times, God will use others to help us through these difficulties and to support us. In all these situations, there is strength that's provided for every need of ours. And ultimately, God will supply for our needs when others simply cannot provide for us. In this, he is glorified and honored. Now, as this book ends, the Apostle Paul instructs his readers to greet them in Christ Jesus and to pass on greetings from the saints in Rome, particularly those of Caesar's household. And finally, Paul closes by saying, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." In the opening of the book, we find a similar greeting of peace and grace to the Philippians, as well as a prayer of thanksgiving for them. Paul mentions his joy for them, but also acknowledges their care and desire to serve him as well. It serves well as a bookend to the end of this letter. Paul recognizes the gift provisions of the Philippians again, but he also reminds them of the one who has provided in an even greater way. Paul desires to turn their eyes towards Jesus, toward his riches, toward the God who supplies all strength in every situation. It is a good place to end the book. It is a good place for us to end the book as well. It's good to be reminded of God's strength that is available for every and any situation he places us in. It is good to be reminded of the fact that all our needs are supplied in the riches of Christ. It is good to be challenged to seek his supply and strength in all things. In real life, it's easy to go to Costco, Wholesale Club, Nodge, or the McMahon Co-op to find everything that we need. The supply and the abundance that is at these places is amazing. But let us remember that as often as we need to go to these places for supply in our day-to-day lives, let us remember that we need Christ more. We need his strength more for all the days and the events that God has ordained for us as we seek to live our lives for him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that through him, Lord, you give us the strength to face each and every day that you give us, every challenge that you have for us, everything that you have for our life, Lord. Lord, we can find strength in Christ to go through these times. And Lord, as we find strength, we thank you that we can find contentness, that we can learn contentness. Lord, it might not be something that we're natural to right away, but Lord, when we see how you work in and through all the different situations, how you give strength to provide, Lord, it's just wonderful to know that you give us what we need for all these things. And so, Lord, I pray that you would grow us in our contentment, Lord, but also in our trust of you, as you lead and guide us, as we seek to be obedient to you. May we see your provision in our lives and all the many ways that you've accomplished this for us. And Lord, as we seek to live obediently for you, would you now just give us the strength as we head into this upcoming week, into the rest of our service, Lord. And in your name we pray. Amen.